Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This. Now, last month, the Special Electoral Reform Committee, or the ERC, presented its interim report to Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. This report was based on 21 stakeholder engagement sessions, which were conducted over 16 months since the ERC was set up in August of 2018. The full report is expected by August of this year. Now, joining us on the show, we are delighted to welcome Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, the chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee. Welcome to the show, Tan Sri.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, as I mentioned, this was the interim report that was presented to the government but not made available to the public. We're expecting the full report in August. What is the difference between the interim and the full report, and why is one not made public?
Well, I can't really answer your second question, you know. But interim report is just temporary, rather permanent. There may be changes, you know, occurring. You know, interim means a temporary one. There may be changes over what we prescribe. There may be a bigger narrative, you know, within all the matters that we described in the interim report. But as far as disclosing is concerned as well, it is a temporary one. Mm. May not be something that is good for an open debate, you know.
Right, so not yet, perhaps. I want to ask you, is it about aligning the committee with what the cabinet wants, how they view things? I know they gave you a rather broad remit. When you were last on the show, we talked about this, and you said that, you know, the Prime Minister wanted you to just raise the level of our electoral system to global standards. I mean, that's a very broad remit, right? So is this period with the interim report about negotiating with cabinet, with the Prime Minister, about the direction of the kind of suggestions you're making?
Okay, not exactly. We put in the interim report. It's a total report on the whole findings that we had so far. It's not really something that is not within within reach, within our capability to handle. It sounds rather big, you know. You are putting something to a standard that has been established, particularly in the electoral democracy. The standard is quite high, you know. You talk in terms of the real standard in electoral management. Mm. As far as electoral democracy is concerned, you know, the level that has been set by the advanced democracies is quite high.
Okay.
And nevertheless, we managed to reach to that level as far as our studies are concerned. I must tell you that we have gone through, after we met last time, we went through a few advanced democracies, particularly the Commonwealth countries, Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Now, all these nations have had a long history of electoral democratic praxis, and they themselves have gone through a series of reforms.
Mm-hmm. And principally, take the New Zealand example. They left the first past the post system that the British gave us and moved to a mixed proportional party-less system. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the question is that what we're looking at? Are we looking at a model from New Zealand or a German model that's been talked about quite a bit? Can you give us any hint about the thinking behind the committee?
Yes. When we talk about a system, there are several systems that we can really look at and make comparisons, you know, with what we have today. Now, for example, Britain introduced this first past the post system Britain still maintain that system, right, but with a lot of changes, making up totally. And if you look at their system, may not appear like what we have today. We have not changed.
Right.
You know, since we adopted that one, we have not changed. But they did. And then Australia, New Zealand have adopted a new kind of system, the proportional system, the mixed proportional system.
Okay.
There are several ways.
So it doesn't necessarily mean an overhaul of the entire system. Perhaps tweaks to the current system is also one of the, I guess, options that you're looking at.
Yes, we studied what they actually did. You know, it took them, for example, it took New Zealand 11 or 12 years to perfect that system. You know, but they had the whole public, New Zealand public, involved.
Okay, so this was a lot of public engagement, trying to get everyone on board.
No, actually, engagement. What they did was more than engagement. They have referendum.
Okay.
So the people have got a choice. You choose a change or not. Canada put up 3 referendums so far, but they have failed to change the first past the post system. But when I went there and took a look at their system, it's not exactly the same as what we have here, although it's called first past the post system.
You know? Is the referendum part of the recommendations in the interim report?
No. We will not touch on that subject. I think it's beyond our...
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, when we last spoke, you said that we don't have an enabling law to have a referendum on these changes.
Right.
So this essentially is going to be a political decision made by the current government and then passed at parliament.
Yeah, it has to go through parliament anyway. But the subject should be handled by, not by our team, but
can I just get some clarification on the ERC and its mandate and what it's set up to do? Who is the ERC accountable to? Is this a are you accountable to the public? Are you accountable to the powers that be in Putrajaya? Who is ERC reporting to?
Okay, we are appointed by the government. The party in power, you know, the government appointed us because it is part of the promise that this party, the new government, made to the people during the last election. It's in the manifesto. It says that when we take over the government, we will do undertake a number of reforms. One of which is electoral reform. And right away, the Prime Minister invited me and my team to take on the job. So we took the challenge. And I'm very happy to be appointed. In fact, I've been waiting for this moment for a very long time because I'm a player, you see, in that one. And it has been I've faced difficult time. Okay. Last time because of the kind of law you were given to run election. You know, election is completely 100% based on legislation, law. You have to do exactly what the law says. Nothing more, nothing less. Mm. You do more, you are in trouble. You do less also, you are in bigger trouble. You have to do exactly. So when the laws are insufficient enough for you to really run an election, which people would appreciate and admire, then you are always having
limited
difficult time in completing your task, in completing your job. You want to deliver a free and fair election. Have you delivered that free and fair election all these years?
Right.
You know? No, if you want to tell me, it's going to be a long story. Now, how we achieved whatever we have done, we have achieved a certain standard of delivery as far as electoral democracy is concerned. Whatever people say, we have given chance, ample chance for people to come out and freely cast their votes.
Yeah.
And they have made their choices. 14 general elections, through all these elections, good government have been formed. I say good government within the form of God.
Okay, well, let's come back and continue this conversation, especially specifically on the recommendations made in the interim report. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This. Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sharad here with you tonight, and we're speaking to Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, the chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee, which put out its which presented its interim report to the Prime Minister last month. Now, that report is not made public, but we do know that there are several areas, 15 areas specifically, that the ERC is looking into. One of the areas I'd like to touch on is the reform of the Electoral the Election Commission, the EC. In terms of empowering it and giving it more independence. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how what you've put into this interim report within the scope of the EC?
Yes, we identified 15 components. Out of these 15, we already had 3. 12 is missing. Of course, within the component also, we put in certain matters that should have been used in the operation of the election. For example, let me go to the basic first. The government that takes over when there is dissolution.
Okay.
Yeah.
The caretaker government.
Caretaker government is something that happens everywhere. After dissolution, there will be caretaker government. Most countries, they have got a set of rules to be followed by the caretaker government. We don't have here. We talk about convention. But convention being what they are, people don't really know what are within... What are the options, the party in power had during that short period of time when they're given temporary power to run the government. But I went around to see what people did. They have written convention. Or in certain countries like Australia, they have a cabinet manual.
Okay, so very clear rules about what a caretaker government can
right,
and cannot do.
Right, okay. We don't have these clear rules. And I have recommended that these rules are being established so that there be no more hassle over what the government can do, the temporary government can do, what they cannot do. Especially.
I mean, you spoke earlier about how elections are run on rules and legislation. Yeah. Are you working very closely with the ministry, the Minister of Law, in order to when you're looking at this? Because will they have to be giving you feedback about what is possible in terms of legislation, what need to be done in order to kind of achieve the outcomes that the Electoral Reform Committee wants?
We have not been actually in touch with that ministry. I think what the government will do later, perhaps, if the government were to accept all our recommendations, the government will push down to this ministry to see that amendments to laws are being done in a proper way and so on. That's the job, the function of that ministry.
Okay.
But as far as our function is concerned, I think people do not want to unnecessarily come in and... No, otherwise, we'll be accused of...
Well, who are the stakeholders in this? So when you've submitted this interim report and with the full report coming out soon, who are the different stakeholders that will play a part in this?
Three stakeholders in particular. One is the general public. Important. The other one is, of course, political parties. Mm-hmm. General public includes the voters. That's why we go down to them and ask what exactly they want for this country. And I think they are very happy. We went down. 22 sessions. You know, we are all over the country. Okay, the second one is, of course, the political parties. They are also within that group of stakeholders who attended our functions. And third one, of course, most important, is the government. Now, accepting the whole report, as well as bringing it for public knowledge, at the same time, bring it to Parliament for sanctions, for the actions and so on. So now we have put it to the government. But I think the public already been informed.
Okay.
They knew what exactly. During our sessions, we already explained. In fact, we guided the public. What we do within the 15, the study of the 15 components, we put in about 49 recommendations to the government to cover everything that is supposed to be covered, to make sure the standard is on the same level as the standard that has been achieved.
Okay.
This is what we are going for, and this is what the government had told us to do. But of course, it's up to the government later whether.
I want to ask you about the political parties because, and I imagine many of the political parties are asking themselves, with these changes, what can they anticipate in terms of their success? Because this is obviously going to be the selling point.
Right.
As we had with the lowering of the voting age, everybody must feel that the new system is one in which they can win, that it's not gamed for the current government, right? It's not designed to help the current government stay in power. What have been the more difficult conversations that you've had with political parties about electoral reform?
It's going to be a bit tough. As far as people talk in terms of their chances of winning election through the system, then it's going to be difficult. What we are trying to achieve exactly is a level playing field for everybody. So nobody is going to get any advantage out of what we have or what we don't have within the legal framework in order to win elections. It's not going to be easy for everybody. No political party would win in easy way now. Now, I must tell you, if we don't do the changes, the likelihood is the present government will continue to take advantage of what is not available, what is missing within our laws.
Mm.
So we don't want that to happen. So political parties, particularly the opposition, they better study properly, think properly, think hard. What we offer is exactly what they are asking for, looking for, exactly. But if you talk in terms of what is going to be my chances of winning an election, then nobody had that kind of really easy chance.
Sure. All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thank you for staying with us on Consider This. Melissa and Sharad here. We're speaking to Tan Sri Rashid Rahman, the ERC chairman, the Electoral Reform Chairman, Reform Committee Chairman. Now, I want to focus on the changes to perhaps the character of the Federation. I'm wondering whether Sabah and Sarawak as territories, because they are much less populated, could any change to the electoral system affect their representation in the Federal Parliament?
In fact, if the changes that we offer did happen, then Sabah and Sarawak will have several advantages over what we have in Semenanjung. Semenanjung, about 70% of the electorates are in Semenanjung, only 30% are in Sabah and Sarawak. And each Sabah and Sarawak, each of them is a unit by itself.
Sure.
So there are three units here. When we talk about restructuring the electoral body itself, especially the body that is going to do the delimitation of constituencies, then Sabah will be considered a special unit by itself, Sarawak special unit by itself. Mm. So when you talk about system, the proportional system, Sabah will be competing, the Sabahan will be competing competing among themselves. Otherwise, they will have that disadvantages of not having national parties, you know, contesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can bring them to national level. Sure. So it's only at state level that they are competing. For example, Sarawak has got, I think, about 33 seats and Sabah about 25 seats. So the Sabahan and Sarawakian, they are competing among themselves for those seats. And the Samjung seats are going to be competed by the parties in Semenanjung.
Right. So the proportion of seats for Sabah and Sarawak in the National Assembly, it's fixed. It's a stable one, is
correct.
It?
Correct. Okay. Correct. So also is Semenanjung. Semenanjung has got about 65 seats, but of course broken into several states.
Right. So the idea is that in this way, the character of the federation, the feeling that Sabah and Sarawak still have an equal share, or their share is not diminished, is part of the design of the new system.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, what other issues are there for you? I mean, what are the harder questions or conversations for you and your committee you've had with your stakeholders, especially the political parties?
Well, we want to bring the confidence of public closer to what we are trying to achieve. And we want the public to be comfortable with the electoral management that is going to be formed once our reform is being done. So we would like very much for the public to have that confidence. We want the public, like some of the countries that we visited, the public really own the commission.
Okay.
In terms of security and so on, they are part of that commission. So there's no such thing as having a big number of security personnel, you know, all over the country to take care of election.
Right. I mean, you mentioned the public as one of the three stakeholders, you know, to ensure that these reforms happen. What is it that people can do, to kind of make sure that there is political will to see these reforms through?
Well, they have got to talk to their reps. You know, they are going to debate this in Parliament. I'm sure it's not going to be that easy pushing through all this into Parliament. Because as long as people talk about what they are going to gain,
sure,
then you are going to have problems. But this is for everybody to gain. And the whole country would gain by this. You know, we are going to create history as far as electoral democracy is concerned. I'm going to tell the whole nation just this, you know. You know, the election is the pillar of democratic practice. You know, make sure that our election is run on a proper platform. If it is not so, then we find our democracy is not really that complete. You know?
And on that note, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your insights with us. That's all the time we have on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutan signing off for tonight. Thank you for watching and good night.